Good morning. We're so glad that you could join us today. My name is Chip Richardson. I'm one of the pastors at Vineyard Community Church, and I just want to welcome everybody here with us. If you are new with us today, let us know in the comment section or even message us on Facebook here. We would love to mail you some information about the church so that when we do begin to meet again on a regular basis, we can meet you in person. You'll know a little bit more about us, and then we can get to know you a little bit more too. So if you're new, let us know. We'd love to send you some information about the church. Also, July 5th, we are having another outdoor service. We had one on June 7th. I think it was a lot of fun. It was a good turnout. So as long as the weather is good, on Sunday, July 5th, regular time at 10:30 a.m., we will be here at the church for a live outdoor special Independence Day service. And then also our Upward Soccer. We are moving ahead with our Upward Soccer program. So we've got plenty of signups. If you are interested in having your child play ages 4 years old on up to eighth grade, you can go to vineyard05.com, our website, click on the events tab, scroll down a little bit till you see Upward Soccer, and there's a link there where you can sign up. And also, if you would like to coach or ref, there's a link there as well for volunteering and helping us out. We would love to have you help us out with our Upward Soccer League this year. So that's it for the announcements. I'm going to pray us into our service. Lord God, I just thank you today, Lord Jesus. Father's Day, a special day throughout the year. So I want to bless all the fathers out there. And God, I just want to pray your blessings on today's service, that Paul's message may reach all of those that are listening today and watching today. And we just thank you for that, God. So we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Greater is the one who's in us. Greater is the one who calls our name. He will never fail. Stronger is the one within us. Stronger is the one who fights for us. Will never fail. You will never fail.
Your love.
For your love endures forever. Oh, your love endures forever. Open up our eyes, surround us with your light. Your love endures forever. Who's for us? Mighty is the one who's strong to save. He will make a way. He will make a way. For your love endures forever. Oh, your love endures forever. Open up your eyes. Surround us with your light. Your love endures forever.
He is fighting.
Our God is fighting for us always. Our God is fighting for us all. Our God is fighting for us always. We are not alone. We are not alone. Our God is fighting for us always. Our God is fighting for us all. Our God is fighting for us always. We are not alone. We are not alone. We are not alone. We are not alone.
Not alone.
We are not alone. We are not alone. For your love endures forever. Oh, your love endures forever. Open up our eyes, surround us with your light. Your love endures forever. He is fighting. Our God is fighting for us always. Our God is fighting for us all. Our God is fighting for us always. We are not alone. We are not alone. Our God is fighting for us always. Our God is fighting for us all. Our God is fighting for us all.
We are never alone, God. Remember your verse in Deuteronomy 31:6 that says, do not be afraid, do not be anxious. It is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And we just remember that verse today, God, that you are always with us. We love you and praise you. Amen.
Happy Father's Day, everybody. I'm excited to be with you, and I'm excited to be sharing some scriptures and encouragement, not just to the fathers, but to everybody. So I really hope you guys enjoy this message. And my name is Paul, if I haven't met you. I'm married to Katie, and we have a son. His name is Oren, and he's 2.5. So I'm a new father on the scale of fathering, but I have learned so much in the past 2.5 years. It's almost mind-boggling. It's very hard to put into words. And this, you know, sharing a message on Father's Day was kind of hard. And it was hard for me to think about, like, how could I try to summarize some of the things that I've learned just in the past 2 years of life? But I have learned a lot. And I've really want to share with you some of the things that I've experienced that have helped me experience God's love in a totally unique way. But yeah, just a little background. Our son's 2.5. I remember the first week that he was born, I was so in shock of just the experience of becoming a father and all of the hard work that has to go into that, that I was almost in disbelief that people would even do it again. It was like, did you forget what you had to go through? And little did I know that that's exactly what happens, because, you know, a week, 2 months go by, a year goes by, and now when I think back, all I can remember are the good things. And I want to have a dozen children now because it's just so much fun. But there were difficult times, and those difficult times helped shape me and helped teach me. I remember thinking a couple times, like, how come nobody warned me about this? But you just can't, you know, there's things in raising a child that just can't be explained. And I, you know, when he was born, it was so overwhelming that I just couldn't help but just cry, because there was these thoughts of, man, like, this little human being has to grow up in a broken, sinful world, and he's going to experience the same hurts and pains that everybody else experiences. And that was a daunting thought, but it was quickly followed up with the reminder that we have hope in Jesus, and that I get to share that hope with him. You know, there was a time when probably one of the harder experiences I had was when my son was sick, and he was just crying and crying, and he was miserable, and I was holding him, and there was absolutely nothing I could do except just be there. And I was so upset. It was kind of a surprising emotion, because I was just upset. There was nothing I could do. And this was the world that he was getting to know, where he was dealing with pain and suffering. And I just was like, so sorry. I wanted to apologize to him. And, you know, that was a really tough experience. But I found this scripture this week that was really encouraging to me about the joy of parenting, and there is so much joy in parenting. And I thought this scripture in the book of Psalms, it's Psalm 78, and it just says it so poetically and so beautifully. So if you want to turn there, I'm going to be reading it out of one of my favorite translations for the Psalms and Proverbs, which is the Passion Translation. And it's quite beautiful. So I'm going to go ahead and read that for you. And we're just going to start in verse 3 for the sake of time. It says this: "We have heard the true stories from our fathers about our rich heritage, and we will continue to tell our children and not hide from the rising generation the great marvels of our God, his miracles and powers that have brought us all this far. The story of Israel is a lesson in God's ways. He established a decree for Jacob and established a law in Israel, and he commanded our forefathers to teach them to our children. For perpetuity, God's ways will be passed down from one generation to the next, even to those who have not yet been born. And in this way, every generation will have a living faith in the laws of life and will never forget the faithful ways of God." In the last verse there in verse 8, it says, "By following these ways, they will break the past bondages of their fickle fathers who were stubborn and rebellious and whose spirits strayed from the eternal God." I love this so much because it talks about sharing these marvelous mysteries and these miracles of God, the histories from our ancestors that we get to pass down from generation to generation. And that gives me hope, because it was an overwhelming thought thinking about my son growing up in a world full of brokenness and hurt and pain. But I was encouraged because I get to share with him the history of God's people and the miracles of God and the promises of God and the person of Christ. And, you know, right now he's too young to understand that. But it doesn't mean just reading those things. I think the most beautiful thing about that passage is that we get to become the living examples of that to our children. I also was just looking through more scriptures and just kind of searching through the Bible about different traits of fathers. And I found another scripture in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 that was particularly interesting to me that I really wanted to focus on. And so if you want to turn there, I want to give you a little background. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it's kind of, that chapter is referred to as like the hall of faith. And it talks about the faithful people of the past, these great followers of Christ that have, or of God, that have shown their faith by trusting Jesus and trusting him in the difficult times. And then in chapter 12, it talks about, it uses an analogy of fathering, and the example that he uses is in discipline. And I want to look at that. But before we do, I think it's important to kind of do a little word study on discipline. And I didn't know, you know, I just was looking around and reading some sermons, and I learned so much about this that it was really challenging. And I started to realize that this was a crucial part of my faith, and it was a critical understanding that I needed when it came to discipline and understanding God's love. The word discipline can be translated to mean a wider variety of things, such as like chastening or punishment is what we typically know it as, but it also can mean training. And this isn't too far or too hard to understand. Like if you're in a scholarly circle, it's often someone might say, "What's your discipline?" They're not asking, "What's your punishment?" They're asking, "What's your training? What's your study? What's your field of expertise?" And in the same way, in an athletic, if you had a trainer, they'd be disciplining you and training you to become great. So I think that's really important, because the word discipline can often come with a little bit of baggage and hurt and pain. Sometimes for us, when we think back on the experiences that we may have had with our parents, if they spanked us or, you know, grounded us or even abused us with anger or emotions, it can be full of hurt and pain. But the importance is critical. And So I want to read this in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. But we're just going to read a few verses. We're going to start in verse 5. He says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones that he loves, and chastens every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father did not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who discipline us, and we respect them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, discipline may seem painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." This is a really intense scripture, and I think it's really amazing, because for me, it changes the way you view your life. You know, when I think back to being a child, one of my favorite memories, one of the most enjoyable experiences, was when my family or my parents said, "We're going on vacation," and all I had to do was hop in the car and just go on the ride. Everything was taken care of. I didn't have to worry about where we were staying, how we were getting there, who's taking care of what, where's the food coming from. I just got to be there and enjoy everything. And that's mainly because my parents took care of me, and I trusted in them, and I knew that they were going to provide for me and they were going to protect me. And all I had to do was have fun. And that is such an amazing experience. But the important things are there that as a child, I didn't have to worry because I trusted in my parents. I relied on them. And that's somewhat of what faith is. When we look at the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, they demonstrate for us what childlike faith really is. And for me, childlike faith doesn't mean ignorant faith. I think that it's faith in submission, faith in trusting that God is going to take care of everything, submitting to his will for your life. I think this is a really important distinction to make. Obviously, it's easy for us to trust our parents when things are going really well. You know, like on vacation, that's pretty easy for me to just say, whatever you guys want to do, because, well, they're the ones that are spending all the money and I can just trust in them. But it's another thing to trust your parents when they disagree with you and or need to discipline you. That's another thing entirely. And we talked about discipline. You know, it's not just punishment, but it's also training. It's trusting your parents when, you know, they're trying to correct you to do something differently or to do it a different way. The author of Hebrews refers to us as earthly fathers, and that we are trying to do what we know is best to train you to live a good life, to train our children to live a good life, to have a happy life. But God, the Heavenly Father, is training you for eternity. And one of the things that he says here that is really challenging in verse 5, he says, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him or disciplined by him. For the Lord disciplines the one that he loves and chastens every son whom he receives." So I think the question here, it sounds similar to the question that people ask when they're struggling with God's authority. You know, I know you've heard the question, if God is so good, then why does he let bad things happen to good people? Well, after reading Hebrews, my short answer would be simply because he loves them. It's kind of a shift in your thinking. It's really important that we understand this as parents, and even more broadly, just as children of God. Without this understanding, it's easy to become calloused and hurt by the discipline of God, much like a child can become calloused and hurt when his parent disciplines him, his or her parent. You know, it's like even if a child recognized that the parent is disciplining them, they may question whether it was the right kind of discipline. You know, you ground them for a week, but they think maybe it would have been appropriate if you took their allowance, or you say they have to go to their room, but they think it would have been better if they weren't allowed to eat supper. You know, it's just they are disagreeing with what form of punishment you decided to take. Regardless, we can probably agree that the parent's form of punishment was better than what the child thought would have been right. And especially that way with the Lord. Even more dangerously, we can become careless in our discipline. You know, maybe a child, is just doesn't care if you punish them at all, or, you know, it doesn't matter to them. It's basically useless. You know, sometimes you could spank a child and it literally does nothing. The discipline doesn't do anything. I think we often can react that way to the Lord. And the difference, I believe, is that your understanding of who God is as a heavenly Father. If God loves you, which he does, then he wants to train you and discipline you to be the full expression of the eternal being that you are. So we need to learn to submit to God's leadership the way that a child submits to his father. And the challenging thing, I think, is that as parents and or maybe you're just a caretaker, you need to demonstrate submission to God so that your children can see what it looks like to be submissive to you. And how does that look like? I think the difference here is that we don't have to really grow up. You know, when I talked about when I got in the car with my parents and went on vacation and I was able to just relax and experience this joy of carelessness because I relied on my parents, we don't really ever have to grow out of that. We can continue to live in trust and submission of the Heavenly Father and believe that he's going to take care of everything through this ride of life. And I don't have to be worried about what comes my way because I can believe that God is involved and that he wants to make the most of everything if I'm willing to submit to his guidance and his leadership through it all. And by that, by doing that, I get to demonstrate to my children how to be submissive and how to really, truly, I think, enjoy life the most. Because it's kind of like being on vacation as a child. I am just free to enjoy myself. I think that we get robbed a lot of the times when we try to live outside of that covering of who God is. You know, we're trying to take control of everything. We're trying to be the adult or be the parent. And you know, we have to plan everything. Everything has to go right. And if it doesn't go right, it's your fault. You have to make all the decisions yourself. You know, adulting is that kind of the phrase. And I think that that's really robbing us out of this joy of being under the covering of our Heavenly Father as children, as sons and daughters, and resting in the reality that he is provider and he is protector and that everything's going to be okay. You know, I want to tell my son that every time he gets hurt or every time something goes wrong and he's frustrated or he's in pain, I get to tell him everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. And I'm not lying because I know that everything's going to be okay because I'm under the covering of the Heavenly Father and I am willing to submit to his leadership and his discipline no matter what comes my way. And so when Oren, experiences the pain of life, the hurt, the brokenness of this world, I get to do what is talked about in Psalm 78 that we read earlier. I get to share with him the history of God's people and the miracles of who God is and the good news of Jesus Christ and let him know that he can stay under that covering of who God is as Father. And that brings me joy. That heals my hurt. And I can be the father that I need to be. And it's such a great joy every day to get to do that. And I never have to grow up because I have a perfect Heavenly Father that's always watching over me. So I just want to encourage you guys with that. I want to encourage the fathers to trust in God and be the example of a submissive child to the Heavenly Father for your children. And show them that it's not about being perfect. It's not about not having troubles in life. It's about trusting in God. A lot of us are living life without the protection and faith in the Heavenly Father. And I think that that's really what God wants to hit at right now on Father's Day. We are meant to go through life at peace because God has promised us and has shown us in the Bible through, like Psalm 78 says, the marvelous works and miracles of the past. And that we don't have to be living in fear and worrying about anything. We can be of childlike joy going through this crazy jungle experience of life. We don't need to know what's coming around the corner because we can trust that God is going to make the most of it and wants to use it to discipline us and train us and grow us into our true identity. And that we can be full of joy like we are as children. So I just want to pray for those that are maybe missing out on that experience and to reignite us and to just remind us that we can live under that covering of God as our Heavenly Father. So Lord, I just thank you for Father's Day and just the memories that it brings. And I just pray, Lord, that we are reminded that you love us, and because you love us, you want to train us and discipline us, and that we can grow from that if we are willing to trust you and submit to your leadership, and no matter what comes our way in life. So I just thank you for that, Jesus, and I pray for those that are sitting at home or sitting wherever listening to this, that you just meet them right where they're at, like the awesome, perfect Father that you are. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that. Okay, at this time, we're going to be taking our offering. I just want to remind you that even though we're not meeting in person, there are multiple ways that you can continue to give your tithe. One way is just to go onto Vineyard 05, onto our give page. You can give there. Also, if you want, you can just stop by the church during the week and drop off your tithes that way. And the last way is the text and give. All three of these options will be detailed at the end of the video. So just stay tuned and look for that. Thank you so much.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, and brokenness and pain is all I know. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, shame. Oh, shame no longer has a place to hide. I am not a captive to the lie. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand.
There's power.
There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty our grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
My fear.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Give life, you are loved, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord, you give life. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord.
Sing great.
Great are you, Lord.
Great are you, Lord.
Great are you, Lord.
All the earth.
Will cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord. Your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Right are you, Lord.
All the earth
will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord.
Let's sing, it's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. We pour out our praise to you only.
Bless you.
All right, we're going to end with a blessing. So if you guys want to raise your hands and say with me, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you.